Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. 11 months ago, as the COVID-19 pandemic was first causing a massive shutdown of the economy, an expected crash in tax revenues was leading forecasters to make some dire predictions for the budgets of North Carolina and other states. Since that time, happily, things have not gone as badly as had been feared, thanks to federal relief spending and the fact that incomes of wealthy people and large corporations have actually risen significantly during the crisis. Revenues have remained strong, and North Carolina has actually banked close to $5 billion in surplus funds. Earlier this week, I got a chance to learn more about this surplus and how it might be best spent to relieve suffering and address unmet needs with North Carolina State Budget Director Charlie Peruse. And as Peruse told me, the list of needs is a long one. Charlie Peruse, welcome back to News and Views. So glad to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
So really nobody else in state government, I think, is expected to have such encyclopedic knowledge and detailed knowledge of just about every aspect of state government. But maybe we can start for our audience who may not pay a lot of attention to state budget matters, just sort of with an overview of where things stand. We hear a lot about federal relief money coming in. We hear about decisions to spend state money. Maybe you can start by just telling us, where do things stand right now as an overall matter with the state budget and our efforts to combat the impacts of the pandemic?
Sure, Rob. At the end of December, the federal government passed another COVID relief package that provides about $4 billion in additional federal monies to North Carolina, mainly in three areas: in K-12 education and university and community colleges, in testing, tracing, and vaccine rollout, and then in emergency rental assistance for folks that are having difficult meeting rent and utility payments. About 90% of that $4 billion was targeted to those three areas. The governor brought forward a recommendation to the legislature to appropriate that $4 billion of federal money for important state programs, as well as an additional almost $700 million in state general fund recommendations in areas where the federal government didn't cover everything. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always donut holes where the feds can't cover every single need that the state might see in the COVID pandemic recovery. And so in the governor's package, he recommended $700 million in additional needs, mainly in the education area. About $470 million would go to educator bonuses for 200,000 education employees, K-12 through university, who haven't received a compensation increase in the last few years and are on the front lines of education statewide. About $82 million to strengthen our people and our economy through small business assistance and other areas. Mm-hmm. And then about $150 million in continuity of state government operations, sort of a catch-all where there's additional state service needs across the board.
Well, that's obviously badly needed assistance. I know some people have raised the issue, though, that it turns out, actually, that the state has several billion dollars in the coffers. You know, a year ago, we sort of predicted that revenues would fall off the table and that the state would really be facing huge deficits. But as it's turned out, well-off people, middle-class, upper-middle-class people, and a lot of corporations still doing pretty well during the pandemic. And so tax revenues really haven't fallen off like had been feared. And we've gotten a new revenue forecast. Talk to us about that. And perhaps some of those funds could also be allocated. Or what's the plan there with that money that's kind of still sitting in the bank?
That's right, Rob. My office and the General Assembly's Fiscal Research Division completed our consensus revenue forecast at the end of last week. And it showed that revenues were much better than we anticipated when we did our forecast last May, right at the front part of the pandemic. You know, we're about $4 billion better in the current fiscal year than we originally anticipated, and $1 billion better in the out years as we do the two-year budget in 21-22 and fiscal year 22-23. We increased our forecast in the out years as well. I think sort of three reasons why that happened. Number one, there's been an unprecedented federal response to the pandemic. You know, billions of dollars put in for unemployment benefits, small business assistance, and other areas to buffer the impact in the economy. Number two, this recession and pandemic have targeted really the hospitality and retail sector and service industries, but we have not seen across the board employment declines in other areas that drive our economy, like manufacturing. we got into the last quarter of calendar year 2020, you saw a strong resurgence in the stock market. You know, the stock market was up 30% at the end of last year. And with that, coupled with the additional stimulus package that we talked about that was signed at the end of December, it gave people much more confidence in the stability in the economy going forward. So as you mentioned, we have a lot of one-time money on the bottom line, about $5 billion, and the governor proposed spending $700 million of that bottom line in the package that was presented a couple weeks back.
So what about the rest of it? I mean, there's obviously need beyond where you all offer several encouraging proposals to address a lot of unmet need, but obviously the state has additional unmet needs, even just in education, where we know the Leandro lawsuit's sitting out there. We've got incredible facility needs in our schools. We've got broadband. So many people struggling in the state still. Is there any prospect for those funds being applied to additional needs, or will they be used for next year's budget? What happens with that funding?
Absolutely, Rob. You're right on target. And remember that the package that the governor presented to the legislature a couple weeks was just sort of an immediate COVID response package and other immediate needs targeted towards spending from now until June 30th of 2021. So really covering the next 6 months. You know, obviously, we're also simultaneously working on the two-year budget that the governor plans to present to the legislature in mid to late March, and that would be for the two-year time frame, fiscal year 21-22 and 22-23. And you hit on many of the top priorities that we anticipate the governor working with the legislature on over the next 6 months. You know, ensuring sound basic education for all public school students is very important. We know that the pandemic has shined a light on learning loss, as well as the complexities around disadvantaged students, children with disabilities, students where English is a second language. We know that there's going to be support needs for those students. We also have major capital and infrastructure needs statewide. We have about $30 billion in needs. We're the third fastest growing state in the country. We also are at a time with historically low interest rates. You know, as a AAA rated state, you know, interest rates would be in the 1.5% range now. So we anticipate the governor working with the legislature to get at some capital needs that we know are out there in K-12 community colleges, universities, you know, local water sewer systems, you know, health infrastructure like the Brody School of Medicine and other areas, as well as housing and high-speed internet connectivity. We know that there's some major needs in all of those areas that we hope to bring a comprehensive capital infrastructure package to the legislature in the March budget. We would also anticipate some targeted small business assistance concentrated on the hospitality and entertainment industries. We know that our restaurants, bars, and entertainment industries have about $4 billion in declined revenues year over year. And so, you know, we want to make sure that those industries are going to be able to stay afloat and be there in the next 12 to 24 months. So I would anticipate some small business assistance there. And then finally, you know, we can't forget that expanding access to quality health care is very important to the governor and many members of the General Assembly and in the public. So I'm sure there'll be some conversations about how we do that through, you know, Medicaid expansion or other means. The federal government and President Biden's and the congressional package being discussed right now has some large federal incentives for states that have not expanded Medicaid. So, you know, we're looking at what that impact might be for North Carolina and hoping to work with the legislature to explore options there as well.
Yeah, we saw that there could be as much as $2.4 billion in addition to the benefits that the state would already realize from Medicaid expansion. So one hopes that that will be perhaps the pot sweetener that will finally convince the General Assembly to move in this direction, because it's so long overdue. We know there are hundreds of thousands of people without health care, which is a pretty sorry state of affairs to have in the middle of a health crisis. We're getting near the end of our conversation already. Time goes fast with State Budget Director Charlie Pruse. I wanted to ask you about a topic that's really sort of, in a way, apart from the state budget that we focus so much attention on, but you've alluded to previously, which is unemployment insurance. That's an area in which North Carolina has historically, at least over the last decade, had one of the most least generous, I should say, programs in the country. And I know the governor is urging the General Assembly to make some changes there to to make that program a little more effective in addressing the needs of people who are out of work through no fault of their own.
That's correct, Rob. The governor's brought a proposal to the legislature last August, as well as a couple of weeks ago, asking them to modify the state's unemployment insurance program. As you mentioned, we have the lowest benefits out of all 50 states, and we currently have a strong cash balance in the unemployment trust fund of about close to $2.7 billion. So we think with that, the governor recommended increasing weekly benefits from $350 to a maximum of $500 per week, and adjusting the maximum number of weeks an individual can receive benefits from 12 to 26 weeks. This would be for folks that become unemployed on or after March 1, when some of the additional federal unemployment benefits expire. And this would put North Carolina sort of in the middle of the pack with across the 50 states in unemployment insurance benefits. It's something that we hope to work with the legislature on in the long session budget as well.
Of course, a lot of these issues are issues y'all have had to debate the General Assembly about during Governor Cooper's first term. Perhaps we're seeing some signals from the legislative building that maybe, even though it's still controlled by the Republicans, that there might be some hope for finding a little more common ground in the years ahead. Are you having any kind of indications that maybe we'll have a little less friction in 2021, maybe thanks to this pandemic? Maybe we'll all be rowing together a little bit more than in past years? Any optimism there?
Absolutely. I know the governor has been having continued conversations with Senator Berger and Speaker Moore in the House and Senate. I've been continuing to have conversations with senior appropriations chairs in both the House and the Senate, as well as legislative staff, to sort of build a bridge, to continue to communicate and try to work through some issues where we know we can get consensus on. I definitely see a better tone. The 10.6 million people who live in North Carolina want effective government that helps them. And so our goal is to find areas where we can find common ground and work for solutions that help all North Carolinians.
State Budget Director Charlie Pruse, thank you so much for helping to deliver that incredibly important service to all North Carolinians. Thanks for your work. Stay safe, and perhaps we'll talk later in the legislative session. We'll look for the big budget proposal in the coming weeks.
Thanks again, Rob, for having me.
Coming up next, we'll talk to a Wake County State Senator who's also a parent of school-age kids about the best way to reopen our public schools. Stay with us.